that we have. Someone has made this observation. Have you ever noticed that life is more wonderful than ever and people are unhappy with it? Life has never been happier and people are unhappy. I teach history in the school here. And in the Roman civilization, you lived to be about 30 years and you were doing well. Now we live how many years? 70 plus. We're having problems with Social Security because people aren't dying fast enough. People are just living and living. But, you know, it's funny. With all the advances in society, people become more and more dissatisfied. You think about the miracle of flight. You think about this. You sit in a plane, and you will fly through the air like a bird. And people have wanted this for thousands of years. And now, if you go on southwest.com, for $79, you can do this yourself, okay? And you will fly at like 400 miles an hour, and you'll cover territory. They used to have covered wagons, okay? And they would start out where they needed to go months in advance, and half of them would die on the way probably. And you had to pick up other groups. You might end up with a different group than you started with. And it would take you months or years to get from point A to point B. And now what happens? People do that same thing in a few hours. And what do they say? It was awful. We sat on the runway for like 20 minutes. Yeah, but you just crossed hundreds of miles in a few hours, right? You were flying at 400 miles an hour like a bird through the sky. Yeah, but you should see the meal we had. It wasn't very good. You think, how can you complain? Another thing that's amazing, you know, we have all these phones, right? And no one's happy with their cell phone. You think about this. Just the phone itself revolutionized communication and everything. I remember my dad had one of those early phones. It was like one of these great big things. It took two hands to hold it up, and it sounded very garbly. You couldn't figure out half of what he was saying. And now we have all these little whiz-bang smartphones, right? And someone's like, why isn't this? You know, it's communicating with space. Give it a chance. But it's just not fast enough for them, right? You've got to get the latest and greatest. And everyone's unhappy with their cell phone. This app, I hate this app. I'm going to download another one. You can just push a button. It'll do it. It's fine. It's amazing to me how many things that we have and how many advances we have and how good we have our life. And yet, people are less satisfied than ever. People are less happy than ever. I want to talk to you today about the concept of contentment. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, if you didn't have your copy of Scripture with you, you can use the Pew Bible. It's page 229, Numbers 11. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Scripture that you've given us to teach us, Lord. I pray that we would make application. May it affect our hearts. Lord, help us not just to have an intellectual exercise of understanding something, but help it truly to be life-changing. Lord, we thank you for your word that you've given us. We thank you for your love in saving us. Lord, help us to be children of light and help others to see us. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Quick background on this passage, quick overview of Israel's history. The children of Israel, they were the Hebrew people. They're going to move to Egypt. There's a time of famine. God will use Joseph, and he'll raise up Joseph. Joseph will be the leader. He'll provide for them a place in Egypt, shelter them. They're there for roughly 400 years. At some point, though, the Pharaoh that's in charge realizes how fast they're multiplying, how many sons they're having, and he becomes very worried from a situation of control. What if these people try to take me over? What will I do? And so, to keep his power, he chooses to enslave them. And he's very cruel to them. The people are oppressed. They cry to God for deliverance. And God will send a deliverer named Moses. And Moses will lead them out of the land of Egypt. They cross over the Red Sea. God miraculously will part the waters. And they're not able to enter the Promised Land because of their unbelief, unfortunately. And so they're going to wander in the wilderness. But while they're in the wilderness, they don't have food, and so God will miraculously provide manna. And the word manna means, what is this? Because they said, what is this stuff? And so God actually provided for this every day. This description of in the scripture is it looks like coriander seed. It's like a little brown, round shape. It tastes like a wafer. One passage says it tastes like honey. One passage says it tastes like oil. They all different ways of cooking it. But every day when they woke up, God had provided food for them. And God was faithful. There it was. And this went on for a period of time. We get to our text, Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. It says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting." This is a group that would have come with them from Egypt that had joined the children of Israel. "And the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics. And now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium." That's kind of like a dark brown. "And the people went up about and gathered it and grounded it in mills or beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it in the doors of its tents." I missed the line. "And Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every man in the door of his tents. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, 'Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me?'" If you have time to read on, the Lord will punish the children of Israel for their attitudes. So, each day the Lord is faithfully providing for their needs. They have all the provisions. There's no lack of food. No one is starving. Back in the ancient Near East, that was a big deal. You had to have something to eat. They have something every day. You wake up, it's there. Except for the Sabbath, you collected twice as much the day before. But every day, there's always this food that you have. And one day, the children of Israel decide, this is not enough. God has met our needs, but we're not content with this. I need something else. Now, Paul warns the Philippian believers to do all things without murmurings and disputings. Okay? If you're going to be children of light, do things without murmurings and disputings. This should be a characteristic of God's people. We should not be complainers. But this is what the children of Israel become. They lack faith. People that lack faith are not hard to spot. They always have something to complain about. And you try to give them a solution, and that just makes them more upset, doesn't it? They don't want solutions. They just want to complain. They're not trying to fix anything. They just want to wallow in self-pity. And so here these people are. God has provided for them. They're discontent. And so they're going to complain and be unhappy. And there's a lesson in this passage for us. I have for you a one-point message. It's a very long one-point message, but a one-point message. Okay, here it is. Discontent with God's provision will rob believers of their joy. Discontent with God's provision will rob believers of their joy. Here the nation of Israel is. They're in the wilderness, and they're unhappy, and God has provided for them. It's not God that's let them down. Now, should they be in the wilderness right now? Should they be wandering for 40 years? No, they should not, okay? This was never God's intention. They were supposed to enter the promised land. But rather than trusting God, they lacked the faith. And they weren't ready to face all those difficulties and trials. And so God had to bring them back from where they should have been. Now, they should be in the promised land. If they're truly living by faith, they're there, right? They're in the Fertile Crescent. The land flowing with milk and honey. They should have all kinds of food options. It's their lack of faith that has put them where they are. Now, having said that, even though they don't have the perfect situation, can they still be happy in the wilderness where they are? Can they still have joy eating manna? If we wait for the perfect thing, if God only uses perfect people and gives them joy, if God only uses the sinless people, then I'm out. Because I've made many mistakes, and God still works with me, okay? And God uses what's left of my life. As believers, we often let down God. And so they've made mistakes, and God's not done with them. God still loves them. God's still providing for them. God's still having their care. They can have joy in this. They can rejoice. Here they are in the wilderness, and what does it say? Their clothes aren't wearing out. God's providing for their clothes. Endless supplies of food. Who's attacking them right now? Nobody. They're safe, right? They're in a safe place. What do they do for leadership? Well, God leads them. You have a pillar of cloud in the day, and you have fire by night. God directing them, God leading them. They have everything that they need. Things are okay. Okay? Things are just fine. God is using them. Even with all their imperfections, God is still working. They can have joy. They can choose to rejoice, and they can have satisfaction. And every day we get up, and here's this delicious food waiting for us. And we have joy in this. But rather than being grateful, they chose to be greedy. Notice in verse 5, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. Oh, Egypt was so wonderful. Do you remember Egypt being wonderful? Does anyone remember this? Because I didn't remember reading that earlier, okay? I remember the part about them being beaten by whips. And I remember the part where Pharaoh said, make this many bricks, and they couldn't do it. And so he said, now find your straw and make that amount of bricks. And then he beat them when they couldn't do it. And I remember the part of the story where he tried to kill all their sons. Okay? When you read this verse, it sounds like Egypt is a buffet of happiness. It sounds like they have all these rows of food to pick from. And it's just a wonderful thing. And they're just eating it and they're laughing and they're enjoying themselves. I think their memories are getting carried away with them here. Okay? Egypt is not this happy place that they say it is. I think the reality is, though, that they are discontent. And I think when you're discontent, you want something new and something different. It doesn't even matter what it is. It just has to be different. It has to be new. Okay? And so here they are. They're not happy. They want something new. It doesn't matter. We don't want this. We want something better. Believer, if you're going to have contentment, if you're going to have joy, you need to learn to rest in what God has given you. The Christian life is simple. There's not very many elements. If you notice most of the sermons up here, they sound like you've heard them before. Have you noticed that? We're saying the same things. The Christian life is not super complex. It's a life of faith. It's this. It's prayer. It's the church. It's singing God's praise. It's fellowship with believers. The Christian life is a very basic thing. And when we choose to be discontent, when we get our eyes off of what the Lord has for us, it's not the Lord that's the problem, okay? It's us. Now, beware, believers. The devil wants to trick you. The devil's an angel of light. He wants to confuse you. He wants you to make you think you need something that you don't have. You know, oh, God didn't give you that. You need to get this over here. Or you got to get that over there, okay? Just having manna is not enough. Just having God provide for you each day and you trust by him by faith. Whoa, that's not going to work. You have to have the top of the line thing. You have to have the latest and greatest or you just cannot rest at night. You cannot be satisfied unless you have the shiniest, newest car. And you know what? I think we play these games with ourselves. I think we need all these things to be happy. I have to have the career, okay? The job I have, I just can't be happy and work at that place. I have a boss. He comes in, and he always tells me what to do. It's not going to work for me, okay? Or if you're the boss, those customers, they never stop calling. And then you miss the boss because he had to listen to the customer maybe. I don't know. But we just think, I need to move up. Something's got to change here. Or health. You know what? If I didn't have this health concern, you know, that's life would be good for me then. Then I could stop and enjoy the Christian life. But as long as I have this ache or this pain, I'm just going to have to do my best. I'm on my own here. Or family. If I had a different family. My family is just not working. We have some difficulties. Maybe your husband disagrees with you or your wife disagrees with you. You just can't go on until that's resolved. You know, I can't be happy unless I have the family. And every family has to have the one crazy relative, right? Is that safe to say? We all have it. Maybe my family's like, we know who that is. Maybe that's me, I don't know. But you think if this person was different, if they didn't throw a fuss, if that person didn't throw a fuss, we could have happy family gatherings. You've got to fix that one person. I cannot have joy and contentment with this person hanging over my head. That's just not true. Some people think if I had money, if the church had this program or that program, then it would be the perfect church. We always have things to work on at the church here, okay? I'm not saying that we're perfect, but if you're looking for the perfect program to make everything run or work, we're working on it, but we're not there yet, and I grant you that. But I'm not going to wait for someone else to be perfect for me to have my joy. Christ can give us that joy and contentment. Now, what some people have done is this, okay? There's the things about the Christian life over here, and I love them. They work very well, okay? If I have the Christian ethic, the Christian work ethic, it's going to help me at work. It'll help my family. It'll help my kids. But there's these things over here in the world that I think are also a lot of fun. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the good things over here that I enjoy, and there's some things in the world. Maybe it's the music that I enjoy or something particular I like to watch. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to take some of these things over here that I enjoy and take some of these things over here that I enjoy, and I'm going to put them together, and I will make myself happy. Okay? I'm discontent with my Christian life, so I'll take some things that are Christian and some things that are worldly, and I'll put together, and then guess what I'll have? I'll tell you what James says that you'll have. James says that you'll have a mess. Double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Okay? There's no stability, because I'm a little of everything, right? You ever talk to a double-minded person about making a choice? That's the hardest thing for them, because they've got to consider all the options to make themselves happy. There's no quick decision. If you know what you believe, then you know the right path, and I'll just do this. They're always trying to decide, aren't they? Just the Christian life itself is enough. We don't need other things. We don't need the world, okay? We don't need to spice up the Christian life. The Christian life is already plenty exciting the way it is. If we're truly focusing on Christ, and this is where our heart is, and this is where our soul is, God will bring us joy. We don't have to fix the Christian life. The Christian life is just fine, okay? I would encourage you, let's be content with our walk with Christ. Let's be content with what God has given us. God has provided all the things that we need. It's not our job to tell him it's not good enough, is it? We're not wiser than God is. Let me remind you of what Paul said to the sacrificial Philippians. He said that God will supply all of your needs. Here they were, they sacrificed, they gave out of need, and God saw them and said, you know what, everything that you need, it's covered. It's like a blank check. Whatever the problem is, I'll just fill it in for you, and you'll have it when you need it. It'll be there. Okay? Be content with what God has given you. Don't let the devil convince you that you need more. Don't get caught up in materialism. Our world is always, we need something newer, bigger, faster, better, shinier. You can have old and slow and be happy. You don't need the bigger, faster, and shinier. It's fine. I think sometimes we're happier when we have the least. You ever think about that? What was the happiest period in your life? What was the period of life that you had the most joy? So, you know, a lot of times it's, you don't have anything. You just have each other, and that's all you need. I'll tell you some stories from my sad childhood. I came from a family, a lot of kids. My dad, the minister, he worked in several ministries. Didn't get a great paycheck, okay? Didn't do it for the money, obviously. Did it for the blessing, which we got paid plenty of that. There were Christmases where we didn't even have money for a Christmas tree. Didn't have that kind of money, let alone gifts. We didn't have any kind of money like this. And it was 2 years in a row we came home from church. And on the porch outside of our house, we have a giant, fancy Christmas tree, flocked. They spray all that white stuff on there. And fanciest thing you could ever imagine. This is the high dollar tree. And we thought that was the greatest thing of all time. And for us, that was it. That's all we needed. We were so happy. And the Lord brought us joy. We don't need all this stuff to be joyful, okay? I think sometimes having lots of stuff keeps us from being joyful. We're too busy taking care of all of our stuff. What do you buy someone that has it all? You buy him an alarm. He's afraid of losing it, okay? At some point, you don't own your possessions. At some point, your possessions own you. Let's not get carried away with possessions. Let me remind you of what Paul told Timothy. He was talking about various false teachers and their discontentment with the truth. And he tells Timothy, he said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If you are unhappy, it's not God's fault. If you will put your faith in God and make that the center of your world, you don't need things. Okay? I think we're trying to do the both and it doesn't work. Put your focus where it needs to be. Be content with God and what he has given you. Are you content with what God has given you? Is God's provision enough? Or are you like the children of Israel? You always want just a little bit more. My admonition to you is I hope that God can make us a content people and we can experience the joy of Him and not get caught up in everything else. Let's pray.